I've been working for 23 years in the public sector. There's an influx of patients coming from other institutions to this institution, the big institutions, and they have to try and cope with. And it's one nurse equally to 40, 50 patients, especially in the trauma areas where we get a whole lot of patients, TB, HIV patients, where we don't really have enough sufficient staff to look after all these patients. So it has a major big impact on the nursing staff and its totals at the moment.
Barbara Reuters is one of the 184,000 registered nurses working in South Africa's public and private healthcare. Healthcare workers at public hospitals work under extremely intense conditions with long working hours, staff shortages, poor salaries, and exposure to HIV and AIDS through poor health and safety.
You cannot really give the attention majorly to the patients as required. Currently, that is the situation that we are in.
Earlier this year, doctors working in the public sector in South Africa took to the streets demanding better working conditions, including the filling of vacant posts. More than two-thirds of doctors in South Africa work in the private sector, and as a result, doctors working in the public sector deal with a huge patient load. Lydia Cairncross is a surgeon at Groote Schuur Hospital.
So we have not only a crisis of not having enough health workers, but also a crisis of maldistribution. So the smallest part of the population has the biggest number of doctors. It's a little better for nurses, but it's a similar maldistribution. So, for example, in the job that I do, there are many people who need operations who have to wait a long time to get them because we don't have enough staff to run the theatres. The theatres are there, the equipment is there, we just don't have enough people, which means that every single day it's a struggle to try and get the right kind of care for the patients that are in front of us, which is very, very stressful. Added to that is that, you know, as doctors we're working sometimes 30-hour shifts to work through the night, and during the days we also work very, very long days. And for nursing staff it's a similar problem, them working 12 to 14-hour shifts and often not being paid properly for their overtime.
Most people in Africa make use of the public healthcare system because they do not have access to medical aids, as well as not being able to afford expensive private healthcare. African governments have recognized the mismatch between the healthcare needs and the resources available to meet these needs. In 2001, they made a commitment to allocate at least 15% of total government expenditure to the improvement of the health sector. Diane McIntyre from the Network on Equity in Health in Southern Africa, Equinet, explains further.
Essentially, what it is trying to do is to try to increase public funding going towards the health sector. And that decision was taken in light of the major burden of ill health that has been created through AIDS, tuberculosis, malaria. And the heads of state were saying this is a serious problem for our countries and we need to address it and we need to take some responsibility. And so we should be devoting more of our government funds towards the health sector.
According to McIntyre, most African governments, including South Africa, are failing to meet the 15% that they committed to in Abuja in 2001.
South Africa is not doing particularly well at all. We are far below the 15%. We, in fact, are just below 11% of the government budget going towards the health sector. And the concerning thing is that that situation hasn't changed over the last 6 or 7 years since the Abuja commitment was taken.
Trade unions in Africa maintain that the governments have not only undermined this commitment, they have also contradicted themselves by continuing to implement neoliberal policies. These policies have resulted in staff shortages and lack of resources in public hospitals. Harriet Kapiepe is from the National Organization of Nurses and Midwives in Malawi, and Lydia Cairncross is a surgeon working in South Africa.
Lack of human resource, because we need to train as many to assist and support the patients in our institutions. And if we don't have adequate human resource in our hospitals, that affects the care that is given to the patients.
A large part of the problem is related to government policy. So the government policies of closing nursing training colleges has partly resulted in this problem. The government policy of retrenchment has resulted in the lack of staff at the moment. So what happened from 1996 when GEAR was introduced, which was a very aggressive neoliberal macroeconomic policy, that public sector spending was reduced significantly and spending on healthcare was actually dropped, the per capita spending. So the population went up, the budget stayed the same. And if you add on to that the HIV epidemic, which cost about $6 billion a year, it's a complete disaster. So now, 10 to 15 years later, we're sitting with a problem where we've depleted and destroyed large sections of our public health system when things were already quite bad from the apartheid system before as well.
The lack of funding for public healthcare in Africa has also affected the rollout of the antiretroviral medicines. Antiretroviral medicines work to decrease the viral load in people living with HIV infection and to slow down progression to AIDS. Sub-Saharan Africa is more heavily affected by HIV and AIDS than any other region of the world. The current global economic crisis is continuing, and funding for health sectors in most African countries come from international donors. This means that the donors are cutting back on funding for HIV and AIDS. Mark Haywood from the South African National AIDS Council explains further.
So this is something that, you know, workers have to fight to stop. It's something that has to be taken up by trade unions. It's not acceptable that rich countries can spend billions of pounds and billions of dollars to rescue banks, to rescue the excesses of the financial system. But when it comes to the needs of poor people in developing countries, those needs are very, very easily sacrificed. So I think we have to insist upon our rights, and we need organized labor, we need civil society to make sure that we defend the treatment programs that we have fought for over the last few years.
Citizens from poor working class communities are the ones who are severely affected by the lack of funding in public healthcare. They do not receive quality healthcare services when they go to public healthcare centres. Bongani Lose from the Democratic Nursing Association of South Africa, DENOSA, tells us more.
It's those queues that you see when you go to hospitals early in the morning, day hospitals particularly, in the townships. You see long queues, people arrive at 4 a.m. and some of these people still, by the time the clinic closes, have not seen the doctor. They have to return the following day. That's a direct impact. And an ailment that could have been picked up and dealt with becomes worse, so much that the person now eventually needs to go to a hospital when that problem could have been addressed right there at the clinic.
According to Nyasha Muchichwa from the Labour and Economic Development Research Institute of Zimbabwe, it was working-class Zimbabweans that felt most of the impact of the cholera outbreak that claimed more than 3,000 lives last year.
Because there's no enough medical personnel or in the medical facilities, the outbreak went overboard, where it was supposed to be a controllable disease.
The lack of proper funding in the public health sector has resulted in many healthcare workers leaving their home countries for employment in other countries where working conditions are much better. Mavis Mpangele is back in South Africa after a short stint in Saudi Arabia.
Before I went outside the country, I was working for Groteskeer, and I was working in one of the maternity obstetric units. It was nice working there, but the thing is, it was overwork. And the staff was not enough. At the same time, the equipment was not that available. I went to Saudi Arabia, to Riyadh. So I was working for a military hospital there. Everything was there. Some of the equipment that they are having doesn't exist in South Africa. And each patient was individually cared. You didn't have to have two or more patients to take care of. So the conditions were really fine.
Trade unions in Nigeria have responded by engaging in talks with the government about the lack of funding in public healthcare. Joel Odija is from the Nigerian Labour Congress.
We should do healthcare workers audits, look at where we are, how do we address the question of deficit. And of course, we are telling government there is need for more social spending in terms of training of healthcare workers, and also at the other level in terms of providing facility and infrastructures that encourage people to want to stay.
According to Kwabena Otu from Ghana Trade Union Congress, the health workers' trade unions in Ghana have managed to mobilize members and put pressure on the government to improve working conditions.
And there has also been a significant leapfrog in terms of increasing the health sector salary as a package. And I think as recently as 2006, you have the whole health sector being hived off what used to be called the Ghana Universal Salary Structure. So they now have their own single kind of arrangement, which has significantly enhanced salaries for health service personnel. And it's the projection now is that if you take South Africa aside, the health workers in Ghana today are the most highest paid on the African continent.
The South African government is talking about the need to have a national health insurance as a way of trying to address the inequalities between the public and the private healthcare system. Percy Muleke from the Office of Presidency explains.
It's to ensure that every South African, rich or poor, has access to quality healthcare in the country, irrespective of their ability to pay. And we also need to ensure that the resources that we have and spend on healthcare are equitably distributed amongst all in South Africa. But more especially, we need to improve the health outcomes of everyone in South Africa and the NHI, or whatever reform that we come up in the within the health sector would assist us in achieving better outcomes in healthcare.
What are some of the possible solutions to the problem of funding for public healthcare in Africa? Here is Diane McIntyre from Equinet and Lydia Cancross.
Equinet is very much in favour of what we call prepayment funding, so that there's mechanisms through which you can contribute towards the costs of healthcare, but you don't have to pay at the time that you need health services. And the main ones are tax funding and also health insurance. So Equinet is very much in favour of prepayment mechanisms, tax and insurance. But what we've learned from international experience is that those resources are best used if they are combined and pooled for everyone's benefit. So we're not recommending setting up hundreds of little insurance schemes all over the place. We would like to see integrated funding for health services that can be used to benefit the entire population.
So for me, it has to be linked to improving the health system as a whole. And one of the major problems with the health system at the moment is that it's commercialized and there's a major profit motive, particularly within the private sector. So in my view, the only way to solve this problem is to have a single system of health for everybody, that there's no payment for health, which is a right and not a privilege, and that everybody in South Africa is treated equally, because at the moment we have first and second class citizens. And if you are a second class citizen, you will sit for 8 to 10 hours in a queue outside a day hospital. And if you can afford a medical aid, you can walk straight into a specialist's office. So we have to change that. And if we change that, we'll have enough health workers to treat all the people in our country.